Welcome to Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the Kentucky Wesleyan College Alumni Association. Join us each week as we interview incredible alumni and friends and follow the evolution of their lives.
I think everybody knows the illustrious, the one, the only. Right? I mean, you are attempting to become so well known that you take the place of Roy Pickrell as the institution of Kentucky Wesleyan College, and you're really working on it hard.
I spent the time yesterday during the eclipse with the institution that is Roy Pickrell. It was quite the experience.
I bet it was.
Yeah, yeah. Not only the eclipse, but Roy.
Oh my gosh. Well, Sean, thank you for taking some time to be with us today. We want to walk down the path and get to know you just a little bit more. So if you don't mind, start us off by talking about your time here at Kentucky Wesleyan. When were you here?
I was here as a student from 89 to 94. I enrolled in the fall of 89 and attempted to get two majors in, which one of them included education. And so I needed an extra semester to be able to get those things in. And so my graduation date was officially 94. And very special, to say the very least. The worst of times and the best of times. I grew more in that period here than ever before in my life.
So I think it's that time, that season of everybody's life, that they should grow up a lot during those years.
Yes.
But Kentucky Wesleyan just seems to breed that.
Yes. And, you know, my experience back at Wesleyan kind of mirrors in many ways my time here as a student. Like I didn't know why exactly I came here as a student. A first generation college student, and really had no business being here, wasn't prepared to be here. Everything is clear when you look in the rearview mirror.
2020.
Yes. And I know now that God had a very specific plan for me, and it Kentucky Wesleyan was a big part of that plan. And so I needed to be here. And I know now that it was God talking to me, but I remember saying, I can't go to college. And I remember God saying, you can't afford not to go to college. And I'm like, but I can't afford to go to Kentucky Wesleyan College. And he said, you can't afford not to go to Kentucky Wesleyan College. And so it was quite a stretch in every possible way for me to be here.
And like so many, Kentucky Wesleyan and all it offers wraps its arms around you, and it works.
Yes. And there were people, and I've been very vocal about sharing some of those individuals, but you know, from the lines that were in the administration building, well, going from office to office to take care of all of your things as an incoming freshman, I had nothing prepared. I was the student that held up every line always my entire time that I was here. You know, everyone else had their things in order. I never had anything because I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't have anyone to help me. But there were people here who helped me, and there's a special place in heaven for Cinder Stiff, who helped me through all of the financial aid and all of the business office things that helped me get where I needed to go. And she's a special person to me because she was so patient and kind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 So you mentioned you were a double major, education.
Fine art. I have a degree in fine art here, and then I also have a degree in art education, P-12.
Okay.
Yeah. I came back and finished that second piece of that. But um, I I came here to play football, basketball, and I had an art scholarship here. And that was the unique piece that really caught my interest for Kentucky Wesleyan. I had been a three-sport athlete in high school and wanted to continue playing. And Wesleyan was one of the handful of schools that would allow me to play two sports. And so that was the biggest draw.
So you played football?
Yes.
What position?
Defensive back.
Defensive back.
Yeah, free safety.
Okay. So you got to tackle a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In practice.
In practice. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's why I didn't play in college. Wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And you played baseball.
I played baseball.
Baseball in high school.
Yes. Played everything because in high school and growing up, because that allowed me to not be at home. And that was a good thing. And so then the opportunity to go to college and continue to do some of those things where I found as a safe place. You know, unfortunately, athletics was an identity for me. And that's not necessarily healthy for it to be completely your identity, but it was for me. And then, again, in retrospect, coming here, my expectation was I'm going to come here and I was going to play football. I was going to walk on the basketball team. I was going to play football and basketball for 4 years. And then I was going to take my degree and go to a big city and be a graphic designer. That was my goal when I came here. And then I got hurt during my freshman year of football here. Because I grew up without any medical insurance, I grew up without just really any insurance. And the reason I got to play high school athletics is because my coaches would pay for my little $15 school policy that allowed me to play. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten to play. And so then I got here, and when team doctor said you needed surgery, I didn't have any support around me and people to tell me that there was a way to get that done. I just assumed I can't pay for a surgery. And so I shut down my athletic career, and that became my identity crisis during my sophomore year. You know, basketball was taken away from me. Football was taken away from me. And in that, my identity was taken away. So I didn't know who I was, and I didn't feel like I fit anywhere, even though that wasn't the way people treated me. That was my perception of I don't belong on this team anymore, and I don't belong on this team and this group of friends anymore. And so it was very difficult.
But you made it through.
Yes.
And you made it through the education, which was a good foundation for you.
Yes.
Graphic art. Did you use that at any point?
Well, my goal was to be a graphic designer somewhere. And when I finished at Kentucky Wesleyan College, I finished with my art degree and still had student teaching left. Met my wife here in art for elementary teachers class. And that changed my life. That was during my junior year. So she was a transfer from UK. She was an education major. We met in Professor Kolak's art for elementary teachers class in the basement. That class was in the basement of Peoples. And that started a friendship, and she became a study partner for me in other education classes, and we worked on projects together, and just a wonderful friendship developed, and that developed into dating, and then that went to engagement, and then everything that her family was exactly what I needed. And that changed my life. And my education here, invaluable, but not more valuable than next week we'll celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. So that's
congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's very special.
Yeah. Those are milestones.
Yes, sir.
So Let's unpack that a little bit, because that's, you know, we like talk about family on this show too.
Yes, sir.
I love talking about family. So your wife's name?
Marcia Everly Toms.
Marcia Everly. So you are from McLean County.
She is from McLean County. Yes.
The Everly name is pretty popular in McLean County.
Yes, sir. I was surprised that everyone allowed me to keep my name instead of changing my name to Everly. Her father graduated from Kentucky Wesleyan College, and just a miraculous story of God's power and provision and planning to get him as a first generation college student here, and then just the investment that his family made in the college when they didn't even have any possible connection to the college when it was moving here to Owensboro, and the fact that he went here, and then all three of his daughters went to college here. I married Marcia, the middle daughter, and you know, she was from McLean County, and you know, my goal of graduating and becoming a graphic designer and moving away to a big city. I always said growing up in Morgantown in Butler County, that's where all my schooling years happened. You know, we had one stoplight by the courthouse downtown, and I thought, you know, I'm going to move to a big place and, you know, do this artwork and be a part of this graphic design scene. And then God calls me to Island, Kentucky, who has a caution light.
Right. Yes. Not even a traffic light. But a wooden bridge.
But a wooden bridge. The last one that was in use in the Commonwealth until they moved it. So, yep. And it's been a blessing. It's where I raised my family.
So she was from Island?
Yes.
So you moved back to the home place?
Home
or
place.
Near.
Yes. When we got engaged and shared with her grandmother that we were going to be getting married in the spring of 94, all of a sudden the home, the old farmhouse that her grandmother was living in became too big, and she thought we should have that. And I think that was a cool little ploy to keep her granddaughter and her family intact. And
funny how families work, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. So our kids are now the sixth generation of my wife's family to live in the old farmhouse that was built in 1880. We still live there today. And just a huge blessing. The road that we live on is named after her grandfather, and my wife can walk out, and the only other house that she lived in and was a part of was her mom and dad's house that she can see from our house, which was her grandmother's house, and she can see her sister and her other sister and an aunt, and you know, just all right there, and it's very special. You know, some people refer to it as the Everly compound.
The Everly compound.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if there's ever an invasion, we need to go
to
the
exactly
Everly
right.
compound.
You're right? safe there. Yes.
The zombie apocalypse, as they call it, right? Yeah. So you, Morgantown.
Yes, sir.
Born and raised. Mm-hmm. And Wesleyan brought you here.
Yes.
Right. So you left here. And it sounds like you didn't spend a lot of time from graduation to getting married.
No, actually, because Marcia transferred from UK after her sophomore year, she needed an extra semester for student teaching. I needed an extra semester to finish up everything but student teaching. And then we decided to, we actually were December grads, but we walked through the line in the spring. And so we got married in April. And so we actually were able to walk the line, husband and wife, and sit together at that point because her name had been changed. And so that was special.
That's pretty neat.
It was very, very, very neat. And then, you know, we bought her grandmother's house and started our family then. And Marcia started teaching, and I took a job as a marketing and shipping coordinator right out. It was the first job I applied for, I was able to get. And I worked there for 5 years while I did youth ministry. And it was a blessing.
So marketing and shipping coordinator, where?
Premium Allied Tool.
Premium in Allied.
At Utica, yes. Yes. I remember my father-in-law right before we got married said, so, you know, you are finishing up. What are you planning on doing? And I said, well, I'm looking for a job, you know, with, you know, some benefits and those things. And he said, well, you know, I saw where Premium Allied Tool was hiring. And so I went out and got an application and talked to them and applied. And the next day they called and liked the degree from Kentucky Wesleyan College. And then because of that, I mean, it was, I quickly was able to move several positions. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing for a young couple.
And you said at the same time you were doing youth ministry.
Yes. You know, my day job paid the bills for a young couple. And then what I felt called to was making a difference in the lives of young people. I didn't grow up with a youth group. I didn't grow up with a church family. The only spiritual influence that I had was the little church that my grandmother attended. And so when I would stay with my grandparents, I would go to church with her. And, my mom and dad were really, really young and did the very best that they could. Spiritually we struggled. And when you struggle spiritually, you struggle in other aspects of your life. And that's what happened there. And so my grandmother became a source of faith for me. And, so I always felt like I walked alone through a lot of things in the growing up years. And then while I was here at Wesleyan, I didn't have that either. And that's why, you know, once Marcia and I started dating, she had a church family, and that church family became my church family, and it changed my life.
Is that where you did the youth ministry?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Which was where?
Island Methodist Church.
The big church in Island.
Yeah, the big church
it
in
is.
Island. Yes.
I've been to Island several times.
Yes, yes.
It's it's a fascinating place. It truly is.
Yeah, some wonderful people there.
Absolutely. And some good food.
Yes. Yes.
If you like burgers.
If you like burgers and ice cream, it's the place to go to.
It is the place.
Yeah. On any given afternoon, like when I leave you and drive through there, there will be license plates from Ohio County, Muhlenberg County, Hopkins County, everywhere around. People drive specifically over to the Dairy Freeze.
The Island Dairy Freeze, for anybody that doesn't know, their burgers used to be better, but they're still good.
Yes. 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 They're still pretty good.
And the ice cream is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. So that takes you from the first few years out of college. You're working at Premium Allied Tool. Where from there?
After 5 years at Premium Allied Tool and 5 years of youth ministry, I went on an Emmaus Walk weekend here in the Owensboro community, an ecumenical spiritual retreat weekend that was transformational for me. And because of that, it was that weekend caused me to say, yes, I will do whatever, God, you need me to make a difference in the lives of young people. And so that's where the youth ministry came into play. And then I really started praying about, I feel called to this kind of service to young folks. And so I began contemplating what it was that God wanted me to do. And, you know, he said, after much prayer, we heard that I'm going to give you a bigger youth group. And so he sent me into education in the public school. And so I started that journey, came back to Wesleyan and finished up with my student teaching, and spent many years as a high school art teacher, McLean County High School, and then Apollo High School.
So how long at each?
Yeah, the when God opened the door and I said, you know, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And the day, the afternoon that Marcia and I sat down and I said, yeah, I'm willing to teach if that's what God wants me to do. We made one call to one principal and they said, could you start tomorrow?
Yeah.
And,
you know, that's always meant to be.
Yes, exactly. And, so that I actually started out and as an elementary school, aide and, started a master's degree in, exceptional children and, worked with developmentally delayed students and did an itinerant position going from one elementary school to another elementary school that same day that I was hired and did my orientation. There, a new basketball coach there in the county found out that I had the background athletically, especially with basketball, and said, would you be willing to be one of my assistant coaches? I didn't have any desire to teach or coach, and God had me to say yes to both. And that was also just a huge ministry opportunity for me. And I spent the first 2 years doing elementary school exceptional children work, EBD things. I learned very quickly I was not supposed to wear a tie to school. And, that did not last long. And several shirts later, I realized I was exactly where God wanted me to be, making a difference there. And so I spent 2 years doing that and then then coaching at the high school and there in McLean County. And then the art teacher's position came available at the high school and they asked me if, you know, I would be interested in doing that. And so I was 4 years in the McLean County system, two with exceptional children, two as an art teacher, and coached for 4 years. And then the opportunity came for me to move on. And so I spent 8 years at Apollo High School, started out as an art teacher there and coach, and then finished my master's degree in counseling and spent 6 years there as a counselor.
So you talk about the special needs children.
Yes.
My wife spent 16, 17 years at Burns Elementary, almost entirely working with special needs children.
Yes.
And I always said and still say today that, through those days, she is the closest thing to an angel that I know.
Yes.
It truly is amazing work.
It is amazing work, and not everyone is called to that.
Absolutely not.
And there's a lot of special things out there in our world, but that's a very special ministry that only God calls certain folks to do. And like you said, they're amazing and angels to so many students.
100%. She still sees those students out today. And of course she looks up to them because they are much older now and
right.
Have grown a lot.
Right.
And they still come up and give her hugs. And
yes,
she, you know, it makes her cry and she thinks about those days and memories. Mm-hmm. So I know that has to be special for you.
Oh, it's extremely rewarding when students that you worked with both when they were younger and then also when you work at high schools and you've had that type of background and God's given you a heart for students with special needs, the relationships that you develop with them is amazing. And seeing them in the community and what they're doing. I just met a young man yesterday that I hadn't seen in many, many years that I was officially his counselor while we were in high school, and I was out in the community yesterday and got to see him for the first time. And he said, "Coach Toms, Coach Toms, Coach Toms," and we got to talk about what all he was doing. And you know, it had been at least 15 years since I had seen him, and it was immediate, and it was so special.
Yeah, it's a connection that you just don't lose.
No.
You know, and that connection is in the world's about relationships, and it's whatever you give and put into it is what you're going to get back out of
Absolutely.
It. And I know the rest of the world's like that, but it just seems something special in that field where you have the opportunity to help shape the young minds and influence their lives, particularly at some vulnerable times in their life.
Yes. And with that population of humanity, their hearts are very tender, and to your point, relationships are the most important things in this world. And for some, that especially that demographic, that relationships are even more powerful.
Absolutely. They're everything.
Yes. Yes.
So, school counselor, that had to be an interesting occupation. And not to get into any of those details, Sean,
sure.
But that had to be an interesting occupation.
I know way too much
Absolutely.
About way too many people. and that all started not just with youth ministry, but then when you know, from youth ministry to teaching and then coaching, and then within the counseling ministry role, you know, there's a lot of things you wish you never heard, a lot of experiences that you walk through, people that you wish you had never walked through, but you knew you were there for a reason and for a purpose, and that you needed to be the person to walk through those things with them. And unbelievably rewarding, critical time in the lives of young people. And they, you know, high school students don't want to go talk to their parents. And so that's why the role of teacher, coach, counselor is so unbelievably important, is
critical.
Because you are that place of vulnerability. You're that safe place where they can go to, and they'll share things that they don't feel like they have any other place to share. And so it's, very rewarding.
So you spent some time at Apollo High School, then where?
Yes, after 19 years, you know, Premium Allied Tool, marketing and shipping coordinator, youth ministry, then McLean County and Apollo in the public school systems. After 19 years of doing all those things, God said that I had been obedient, but he didn't call me to be comfortable. And I resigned my position as a counselor and a coach at Apollo High School, and did the faith-funded ministry of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and that was quite a leap of faith for our family. And growing up without anything, and then working very hard to break that cycle and to change those things. You know, not that being a high school basketball coach and counselor is lucrative in any way. It's not why you do those
but
things.
But it's consistent.
But it's consistent. And it was something that, you know, you had more than enough to take care of your family. And then when you 60% of your household income goes away, it's challenging. And but is also probably one of the most rewarding times in my life. There's been a lot of them, but that was extremely challenging to go, okay, God, these things that I believe and that I share with other people. It was very hard to swallow your pride and go to someone else to say, for me to do what I feel like I've been called to do, I need you to support me. And, that, I needed that more than anyone else needed me to be ministering to them. And so I needed that at that point in time in my life. And it took me to a whole nother level in my faith. And that time with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Northwest Kentucky, 10 counties and 100 campuses.
Wow.
So it was quite a daunting challenge, and it was such a blessing to be able to minister in that way.
So how long were you with FCA?
Four years.
Four years.
Yes.
And then where does that take you after that, those 4 years?
That took me to going at my circuit of going around and praying with superintendents and principals from building to building, brought me to Kentucky Wesleyan College, to the office of the president, where I walked in to introduce myself to say that I was the Northwest Kentucky FCA guy who just wanted to pray with the president, because it was one of the campuses that I prayed for. And so I got a seat at the president's table with President Bart Darrell and prayed for him. And several weeks later, I got a call from him saying, would you be interested in coming here to lead our campus ministries?
Which is what you do today and more.
Yes, sir.
So you came back to Kentucky Wesleyan 5 years ago now?
Seven years ago.
This is
year seven.
I don't mean to lose time.
No. It honestly, Doug, it feels like, I mean, this is academic year seven, but I feel like I've been here like 7 months. I mean, it has flown.
But you've grown while you've been here too. I mean, you came in just as campus ministries, but a couple of years ago, you had another opportunity presented to you.
Yes. Dr. Mitzel, I think, recognized, you know, the collaborative work that many had been doing here on our campus within campus ministries. He had seen that this was the fruit of a lot of people's labor and investment. If you've been around here on campus, like, there are some special things going on, and a lot of people have invested in that. And so he said that there were some more things that he would like for me to address and take on. And so after being here for 5 years, he changed the title to encompass campus ministries and spiritual life and some other areas of oversight, but he called that mission and culture. And so I became the vice president of mission and culture.
And congratulations on that. That is what I'll call back to the roots.
Yeah.
That's what Wesleyan has been about for 150 plus years.
That's exactly right. Our mission, as it is written now, is to help our students be successful in their lives physically, intellectually, and spiritually. And I don't think, I mean, anywhere you go, regardless of your faith, science tells you that we're mind, body, and spirit. And when you educate a person, if you're not educating the whole person, then you're missing a big part of it. And it's a privilege to be at a place where it has that kind of mission statement and a culture that should be rooted in that. As a faith-based institution, having a culture of, you know, those tenets of the Wesleyan way, honor, integrity, support, and love, like it, all of those things are foundational that I don't know how anyone could argue with.
So talk to us a little bit about campus ministries. You know, it's campus ministries has been here for quite some time, but there's been a fundamental change from the time you got here to what it is today. And I know it may be difficult to really talk about that. You might not want to talk about that, but you know, it's grown so much, and it is quite frankly under your leadership that it has grown. And that leadership is not just with the student community, but it's with the faculty community, the staff community, everybody around that has had to buy in. You know, it's multifaceted. It really is. And
yes,
and if you sit back and look at it, just talk to us about how it's grown over 6-7 years that you've been here.
Well, I will address it, but to kind of preface my what I'll share is we all stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And so, you know, I think many times people who are in positions of leadership fail miserably in not acknowledging that, you know, you wouldn't be where you are if it wasn't for those who have gone before us, and we stand on those shoulders. And I'm very thankful for the long history of ministry on campus, rooted in the whole reason that the Kentucky Wesleyan College exists, and that is as a faith-based institution. But, you know, when President Darrell called, I will never, ever forget his statement that said, we have a mission and we have a history and we need to get back to our faith-based roots. And he also said the challenge is to do whatever we need to do to be a hub in our community for things of faith. You know, Wesleyan has a unique opportunity. Churches don't play well together. It's sad, but true. And it doesn't take long in talking about that to know that that's accurate. But it's hard to get churches to do things with each other. I'm praying that changes. We have seen some of that change in the last 7 years in this area. And I'm very proud of the church partners, the local church partners that we have. We've become very ecumenical in so many different ways. And we're uniquely situated because we're not a church. The college is not a church. And so when we bring people together, they're more likely to come here because we're not a church. And that we're not, and I don't like the word a competitor, but we're not. We're not seen as a threat to take, you know, someone else's congregates. And so it's been a huge opportunity to make Wesleyan a hub for all things faith in our community, and to be able to bring people together that might not normally come together. And that's happened.
And it's done so in many ways. I know the student population participating in campus ministries has just gone through the roof in a number of years. I mean, you have a large percentage of the student population that is participating in some way, maybe actively, maybe a little less active, but participating nonetheless.
Yes, you know, and I guess a good word for that is engaged or involved.
That's right.
And, you know, when 7 years ago, you know, when this opportunity came about, you know, the weekly chapel service that has a long history here, you know, I was told that they were averaging anywhere between 7 to 10 faculty, staff, and students in a weekly chapel service. And, you know, that over the last 7 years, I mean, we're averaging this semester over 110 students in chapel
each
week.
That's fantastic.
And you know, it's weekly. It is during the lunch hour, and it is voluntary. And it is beautiful to see students. It's not about numbers, but it is about community and relationship. And we do feel like that it is a place where students can come and be served and genuinely feel like someone is serving them out of a genuine heart. It is a place to come to be loved. You know, God gave me three words when I got here: serve, love, and relate. You know, serve others, because Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And he loved us unconditionally and sacrificially. And that's what we're called to do. That's our job while we're here. And then to your point, the relate part is people don't know you care at all until they see you invest time. They're beginning to relate and empathize with where you are in your life, to meet you where you are. So relationship is everything, and trying to just meet students and faculty and staff and community people right where they are. no strings attached, no judgment. That's not our job. Dr. Graham, Dr. Billy Graham said, you know, it's God's job to judge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and it's our job to love. And so way too often we expand our job description beyond what it needs to be. And I've just tried to lead by example in saying it's about serving people and loving people and relating to people right where they are. It's not our job to tell them what to believe, but it is our job to present an opportunity for them to decide what they believe, to own and grow their own faith.
Well, Sean, thank you for that. Thank you for the work that you're doing for Kentucky Wesleyan. Thank you for the returning to the roots, if you will, the faith roots. You know, and that's exactly what I wanted you to point out was the 7 to 100 plus. You think about 110, 120. You know, that's 15 to 20% of the campus community that attends regularly versus less than 1%.
Yeah.
You know, that's phenomenal.
Well, God is good. And we developed a small group ministry where students can develop community with their peers. And, you know, last semester we saw a huge jump in students. You know, they're a weekly Bible study, a weekly community group. And we had 8 of those groups last year with 129 students in it. And every year, every semester, those groups have to change because of practice schedules and game schedules and work schedules and class
right.
schedules.
Exactly.
They reinvent themselves every single semester. And we thought, well, that might be a one-off time. And then we come back and we go from 8 groups to 9 groups. And we have 128 students that have been involved in a small group, peer-to-peer. You know, we're having juniors and seniors who are trained up leaders who lead those groups. And there's accountability, there's community, there's service, there's love there, and they're digging into the Word, and they're growing. They're called grow groups, G groups. That's what the students, wherever you are, just take that next growth step in your faith and developing your worldview and what you believe and what you own for yourself. And that's probably maybe the thing I'm most proud of is the ownership of those things for our students. No one makes them. They're not getting paid to do any of those things. That type of engagement, 129 students this semester that are a part of a G group on campus that meets weekly.
Yeah, and you mentioned something that, you know, from the business perspective, I recognize I have the opportunity to be around Kentucky Wesleyan maybe more than many who don't work here, but I see it, and I see you use the word develop leaders, which is 2 words, but leaders. And I see that, and I've had the opportunity to experience that. You know, we've had interns, and we've seen what people do, and it's not, and don't get me wrong, the faith is important. It's a foundation, but you're growing leaders too. And I don't want you to minimize or anybody to minimize the impact of what that means when those students go out into the working world and become adults who have to be adults.
Yes.
And that leadership, that piece of it is huge to the real world, to their families, to their employers. It's just huge.
It is huge, and Wesleyan has a long history of producing great community leaders.
Absolutely.
And to your point, that if we go back to the faith-based roots, disciples are people who are servant leaders. And so even if we may differ on faith things or, you know, theology and those things, what you can't differ on is the best model of leadership that ever was, and that's servant leadership. And when you develop
Absolutely
a culture
right.
of servant leadership, things dramatically change. Because that, in my opinion, it is the only leadership model that actually works. And we work really hard with our students to develop servant leadership skills.
Well, thank you for that. I have to change subjects.
Okay.
We need to go down a different path.
Okay.
I absolutely love to talk about family.
Yes.
So we've talked about Marsha.
Yes.
But we haven't talked about kids.
Offspring.
We got to talk about offspring. Well, you have to do it. So tell us about that.
God bless Marsha and I with a daughter, Kenzie Ree, and then we were blessed with a son 4 years later, Isaiah. And we've been privileged to be Kenzie and Isaiah's mom and dad now for several years. And we have done our best, and we are so proud of them. They have very unique personalities and giftings. And
that's the beauty of kids.
Yes. Yes. Kenzie, I mean, they were this completely different growing up. Kenzie was like, if you said, what is the model child? Kenzie was that. She did everything she was supposed to do when she was supposed to do. Isaiah was the exact opposite, and that's the reason we only have two kids. Yeah. He was unbelievably challenging, and Marsha even says now, if we had known that he was going to turn out the way that he's turned out, we would have probably had more, but he was challenging.
Well, feel fortunate he didn't come first. Maybe you wouldn't have had the
second. Exactly. Kenzie might not be here. But she has been great. Just very proud of who the woman she has become, and proud of her journey through high school and then as a college student here at Kentucky Wesleyan, and now an alum, and then her journey to where she is today. We're just very proud of her.
Yeah. You know, I know Kenzie. I do not know Isaiah, and I've had the privilege of getting to know Kenzie and Chase,
yes,
her new husband.
Yes.
And they were on this podcast.
Yeah. I listened to it. They did a great job.
They did a great job.
Yes.
They really did. They were seasoned pros for being newly married.
Yes. Yes.
But she has a pretty good working career for being so young.
Yes.
So you should be proud.
Yes. Well, we are very proud. We're proud of what they're doing within their vocations. Probably more proud of the hearts that they have for other people. And I think that shows up in their day to day. And that's very encouraging.
What does Isaiah do?
Isaiah is a sophomore here at Kentucky Wesleyan College.
Oh, good for him.
Yes.
Another Panther.
Yes, another Panther. He is a communications and graphic arts double major. And, or at least as of today, that's the plan. But he loves writing. He gets that from his mother. And, so even, as he was transitioning from high school to college, as a student athlete, one of the things he loved to do was write about sports. And, Owensboro Times gave him an opportunity to shadow and begin writing a few stories and covering some things, and he did that. And then because of that, our athletic department here at Wesleyan saw that he had published some articles and gave him an opportunity to cover some things. And now he writes regularly as a contributor to our athletics department. And that's really, really cool.
That's neat.
Yes. Now I don't know. He's has many, many published pieces and so he loves doing that, and it's great to be at a place where students have an opportunity to take the things that they're interested in and passionate about and gifted in, and actually put those things to very practical use early on, and not have to wait for that practical experience, you know, post graduation.
Yeah, it is, and I think that's one of the benefits of being at a Kentucky Wesleyan. You know, it's small enough that people can become involved and can also be seen.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You know, because you have to be seen. It's doors are opened when when you open them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's your talents mm-hmm. that people are going to take a look mm-hmm. at you, and they're going to go, well, you know, mm-hmm. I'll give a chance to that kid, right? Mm-hmm. And instead, he is that kid, mm-hmm. you know, probably 20 years old, mm-hmm. 19, 20 years old, you know, but he's a kid. Mm-hmm. And to have those opportunities, you might not get that on a UK or a Ohio State or a very large campus.
That's right. You know, the larger you get, the more important it is who you know in specific situations and circumstances, as opposed to you being able to present a body of work and have exposure to many. And you get that at a Kentucky Wesleyan College.
You absolutely do. It doesn't hurt that there's 8,000 alumni out there that are willing to open their door and pick the phone up when another student or alum calls.
Yes. And, you know, that's the beauty, and that's why I feel like moving forward, Wesleyan is teed up in a very competitive higher ed market to be a destination location for a lot of people, because we do have some distinctives and some things that should differentiate us from other institutions. Great institutions out there, but we have some unique opportunities because of who we have been and who we are, and the Owensboro community, the opportunity to be able to partner and do things that other people can't do, and do it to be able to pivot and do those things more quickly than others. We are poised to be able to change quicker with the times, and that advantage goes to our students.
100% right. 100% right. Okay, we're going to change subjects again.
Okay.
What keeps you and Marcia busy? What do you like to do?
Well, Marcia is in her 29th year of teaching.
Wow. And thank you for her service.
Yes, yes, yes. Just like our military veterans who deserve all of the applause and thanks, I think we ought to give teachers hats that say, you know, I served in elementary schools, you know, and so that we can say thank you for your service. 29 years in elementary school education, and she is a resource teacher who does pullouts all day long to differentiate instruction for students and to catch them up, and she's done English language learners, and you know, every time she's at a point where she feels like, okay, is this time for me to move on? Then God gives her a different kind of ministry within education for her, and so her heart and soul is every day with her colleagues and her students and their families, and so that keeps us very busy. We're very involved with our own church family, and then our kids, even though they are adult children now, they still are children, and we still try to support them and be very involved. Isaiah plays football, and so we try to support all of those things. And then here, I love being a part of all things Kentucky Wesleyan, so we go to lots of things here on campus.
Kids will always be part of you.
Yes.
We have 2 children, 5 grandchildren, and it just grows.
Yes.
And it never changes.
There was a wise gentleman who told me many years ago, he said, once you experience the love of God in your life, you don't really understand how much God loves you until you get married and you go to a different level of understanding of what love really means. And he said, and then that level is increased once you have a child. He said, but I'm telling you, until you become a grandparent. So by your reaction, he hit it right on.
Dead on, nail on the head. Now, funny story. I've told this before, and anybody listening to this podcast is going to say, yeah, he tells that one over and over again. But we have a sign hanging on a wall in our kitchen by the back door. And it says, grandkids welcome, parents by appointment only. And so as the grandkids come along, it's just a different kind of love. I mean, it's not lack of love or no love. It's just a different kind, you know? And so, yeah, drop them off. We'll keep them. We'll hug them, feed them, you know, get in the snack drawer, do all the things you need to do. And then, you know, but you guys, yeah, you can come over. When do you want to come over?
Yeah. Yes.
It's
yes.
a different kind.
Right.
It's a different kind. Sean, we are unfortunately nearing the end of our time together. Okay. So I have to go to my question. I have one question that I love to ask my guests.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to ask the question, and then I'm going to tell you why I'm asking it, to give you a moment to think about it. The question is, tell me about a favorite vacation. So you might think that's odd, but Brenda and I are nearing that time of life when it won't be too many more years that we retire. And so, just to be honest with you, I'm stealing travel ideas from my guests.
Well, I've listened to enough episodes to know that that question was coming. So I did prepare.
Okay, good.
You didn't tell me, but you had asked others, so I assumed it was coming. I was born in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, so I can't use that. I didn't grow up with family traditional vacations, and until my wife and I got married, and I said, this is something that is going to be important to us, is that we develop some traditions within our family. And so we went to Fort Walton often, and I have some really cool stories around that. But several years ago, I had the opportunity and the blessing to be able to be a guest speaker in St. Simon's Island. And there was a youth conference where different youth groups came in from all over, and they did mission work in Brunswick, Georgia, and then they would come back to the island and stay there. And I was able to, they would get up and they would serve all day. They'd come back and then they would have worship at night. And I was able to be the speaker during that week. And so my first experience with the East Coast and St. Simon's Island, we really just kind of fell in love with that area. And I've been able to go back and meet with a couple of people there. And so, if you've never been to St. Simon's Island,
never have.
It's some really cool history there. You can get on a bicycle, and you can bike, you can cycle from one side of the island to the other in definitely less than 15 minutes. And it's not very large, but there's some wonderful places to eat. It's just beautiful. You can, from their East Beach, you can look across and see Jekyll Island there. And there are a lot of those large container ships that will cut through there as they're leaving port from the East Coast. And you can see those. And it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful little place.
Wow. Well, we will add that to our list.
There you go. Let us know when you go, because my wife would go there tomorrow if she could. She loves it.
Travel partners, I like it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, with you being veteran of the area, yeah, that would be beneficial for us. We might learn some good places to go and eat and spend time.
Yeah, yes. I'm good at the eating part.
Yeah, aren't we all, right? You know, but it's okay. Thank you for that. Sean, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I'm so confident that people are going to enjoy listening to this. I always like to give my guests the final word.
Final word is thank you for the opportunity to be on this podcast, but just that you make this podcast possible for our alumni group to do this. It's been a blessing, and thank you for your investment in it. And I know you don't get paid a lot to do this, but it your investment in it is valuable. And showcasing alums and their lives and telling their stories. I get the privilege of being able in this coming fall to teach a class. And for our incoming freshmen, we have 14 sections of of a KW 101 class to help students get started. And my final word is that's what my class is called. Your story matters. And so what you're doing here is telling people's story, and every story is powerful and it matters and it needs to be told. And I appreciate you sharing this opportunity with me to tell part of my story, and for others to get to hear other stories. They're important.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for those words. I appreciate that. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, we will be done for this edition of Alumni Evolution. And until next time, be well.
This has been another episode of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the KWC Alumni Association, hosted by Doug Hoyt, class of 1984. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow the Alumni Association on social media at KWC Alumni. See you next time, Panthers.